President John F. Kennedy was shot at 12:30 p.m. Central Standard Time.
He was wounded in an automobile driving from Dallas Airport into downtown Dallas, along with Governor Connally.
There's only one word to describe the picture here, and that's grief.
60 years ago today, one of the most horrific scenes of the 20th century America played out on the streets of downtown Dallas. Today, we'll look back on that fateful Friday with interviews from eyewitnesses and authors who have researched the Kennedy assassination. I was 10 when our principal, Clyde West, came on the intercom to inform us of President Kennedy's death and dismiss classes. If you were alive during that time, chances are you remember exactly where you were and what you were doing. The event has haunted me ever since. Some of that has to do with the fact that my father, who was a surgeon in Dallas, was training at Parkland Hospital and knew everyone that worked on the president that day. In fact, several of those doctors were at my house that evening for a regularly scheduled bridge game. Needless to say, the party was much subdued. Our first interview is with Dr. Robert McClellan, who was on call the day they brought the president and Governor Connally to Parkland Hospital.
That morning was a fairly, you know, typical morning, and I was going down the hall in the operating room, and one of the residents in surgery, Dr. Chuck Crenshaw, came into a conference room where I was. He knocked on the door, and I went out to the out of the door of the conference room where I'd been holding a little session with students. And he said, "Dr. Mack, could you step out here for a moment? I need to tell you something." And so I stepped out, and he said, "They just called the emergency room and said that President Kennedy in his motorcade downtown had been shot. And they want all of the faculty surgeons to come down immediately to the emergency room." And so that's how I first heard about it.
Welcome back. Clint Hill was the Secret Service agent in charge of protecting Jackie Kennedy on November 22nd and wrote a book about his experiences.
Clint.
How are you, sir?
Clint, thank you so much for being with me. The book is called 5 Days in November. It is an unbelievable book with some amazing photos. What took you 50 years?
Well, I would still not be revealing anything if it hadn't been for a young lady named Lisa McCubbin, who convinced me that the information was historical and the public needed to hear.
Well, I'm telling you, I'm going through it now. I haven't finished all of it, but it's already, I think, the most amazing and informative book I've read on the assassination, because it's in a personal account from someone who's there, and I think you add things that maybe haven't been done before. Was that part of the reason for doing it?
Well, we wanted to make sure that everything was in there, all the facts were in that book, and we wanted to write it in such a way that the people had a feeling that they were on this trip together with them.
We can't discuss the Kennedy assassination without discussing all of the conspiracy theories. Mark Shaw wrote a book called Collateral Damage that intertwines JFK's relationship with Marilyn Monroe, Robert Kennedy, and national columnist Dorothy Kilgallen. Mark, thanks for being with us. How are you?
Just fine, Chip. Thanks for having me on the program.
You bet. I grew up in Dallas, so I have studied this stuff for 50 plus years.
And are you sick of it? Are you sick of it, Chip?
Nope. I never get sick of it. And you obviously have found some new stuff. I don't think there's ever been any debate about the president and Bobby Kennedy's relationship with Marilyn Monroe over the years, has there?
Well, no, but I will tell you this, and I'd be interested in your feedback here. You know, what I decided to do, and I'll tell you why I wasn't even going to write this book, but I did, and I want to resolve three true crime murder mysteries and hopefully get some justice for Dorothy Kilgallen as well as Marilyn and even JFK. But most people remember, and I'd be interested if you did, that, of course, Marilyn had a sexual relationship with JFK. It was very short-lived, of course. But I didn't know that she had this relationship with Bobby Kennedy until I started investigating this. Did you know about that?
I did, actually. I had heard about it previously. You go into a little bit greater depth.
But I will say this. I had never heard the theory that it was Bobby who had Marilyn killed.
Yeah. Well, I hadn't either. And the reason I said I wasn't going to write the book is I'd written about the JFK assassination in a book about Joe Kennedy. I'd written about Dorothy Kilgallen and her investigation of the JFK assassination and the fact that I proved she was murdered because she was too close to the truth.
We continue with our look back here on the 60th anniversary of the JFK assassination. Just a little more than 5 weeks ago, I spoke with Paul Landis. Landis was on Clint Hill's detail as a Secret Service agent in charge of Jackie Kennedy. He rode in the car with fellow agent Hill right behind the president's car in the motorcade. Mr. Landis, thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it. I'd like to give you a little of my background. I was in Dallas the day the president was shot. My father was a doctor, and the two physicians that were in the emergency room that day were actually at my house with a regularly scheduled bridge meeting that evening. So I've always had a lot of fascination with what went on November 22nd in 1963.
Interesting. So hopefully I can fill in a few gaps there for you that maybe your father didn't know.
Tell our listeners, if you would, why it was 50 years before you decided to read anything about the assassination and then say, hey, all of this stuff that's being written isn't really true.
Well, the 50 years, I just buried everything. It was so traumatic for me. I refused to read anything about the assassination. I tuned out as much of the news as I could, and it was just a matter of circumstances. Once I was reading or hearing so much of all the theories and everything that went on, I had just reached a point in my life. There's so many things surrounding it that I just, whenever I decided to write the book, I just thought I needed to tell what I saw, what I did, and hopefully that would put some of these conspiracy theories to bed.
Welcome back. One of the most fascinating books on the Kennedy assassination I have read over the years was written by Alexandra Zapruder. She is the granddaughter of Abraham Zapruder, who filmed the assassination from the grassy knoll.
In her phone line, we want to visit with Alexandra Zapruder. Her book is called 26 Seconds, A Personal History of the Zapruder Film. Alexandra, thank you so much. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks so much for having me.
Love this book. I thought I knew everything about the Kennedy assassination. I was very wrong. And I thoroughly enjoyed this history. I want you to tell our listeners about your grandfather, Abraham, and really the fact that he never quite got over this eyewitness to history, did he?
No, he didn't. He was, he was shocked and traumatized. He loved the president. And this was something that, of course, he, like the rest of the nation, never saw coming. And I think the burden and responsibility of the film, and also just the visual memory of that, stayed with him for the rest of his life.
You spoke to this in the book, but what goes through my mind is how incredible it was for him to maintain focus and a steady hand while this murder is taking place. That is just amazing to me.
I agree with you. And I think, you know, he said at one point that he himself didn't know how he did it. He could never quite explain it. I think it must have been, you know, something came over him and he was able to just stay where he was and stay focused on what he had to do. And in fact, it's so interesting because after, you know, when the limousine disappeared from sight, mm-hmm. and he and Marilyn Sitzman, who was his receptionist, who was standing with him, looked around, everyone around them was flat on the ground.
Yes.
You know, and there they were standing 4 feet above on this concrete parapet, you know, just there they were.
Mm.
One of the other pieces of this complicated puzzle is Jack Ruby. Earlier this week, I visited with Danny Fingeroff, whose latest book is called Jack Ruby, The Many Faces of Oswald's Assassin.
Hello.
Danny, how are you?
Okay, how are you?
I'm great. Glad to have you with us. This is a fascinating read. What did you know about Jack Ruby before you started this book?
Well, it started about 10 years ago as a graphic novel project. As you may know, that's my background, is the world of comics and graphic novels. But before that, I didn't know anything more than I knew that famous photo, you know, and then all the kind of iterations. And I guess, you know, that was it. You know, and that photo of Jack Ruby, a guy who was desperate to be famous, and yet his most famous moment, his back is to the camera.
Yeah, exactly. You paint a picture of a guy that's is unstable the correct word?
Oh, yeah. would be unstable to the nth degree.
I mean, he was a guy that people said would give you the shirt off his back one moment and throw you down a flight of stairs the next, correct?
Yeah, although sometimes the other way around. Sometimes he'd throw you down a flight of steps and like be beating your head against the sidewalk. And then suddenly almost wake up out of a trance and go, what am I doing? And then he would like stuff $100 in your pocket and give you a pizza, literally.
Today marks 60 years. Most of the eyewitnesses have died. The world, for the most part, has moved on from this terrible day. But there's still a few of us left to wonder, to question, and to grieve. Thank you for listening.
It was a dark day in Dallas, November 63, a day that would live on in infamy. President Kennedy was a right line, good day to be living and a good day to die. He had led to the slaughter like a sacrificial lamb. He said, wait a minute, boys, you know who I am. Of course we do. We know who you are. Then they blew off his head while he was still in the car. Shot down like a dog in broad daylight. Was a matter of timing, and the timing was right. You got unpaid debts. We've come to collect. We're gonna kill you with hatred without any respect. We'll mock you and shock you, and we'll grin in your face. We've already got someone here to take your place. The day they blew out the brains of the king, thousands were watching, no one saw a thing. It happened so quickly, so quick by surprise. Right there in front of everyone's eyes. Greatest magic trick ever under the sun. Perfectly executed, skillfully done. Wolfman, oh Wolfman, oh Wolfman, how? Rub-a-dub-dub, it's a murder most foul. Hush, little children, you'll understand. The Beatles are coming, they're gonna hold your hand. Slide down the banister, go get your coat. Ferry across the Mersey and go for the throat. There's three bumps coming all dressed in rags. Pick up the pieces.